Toronto Raptors analyst Leo Routens. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Falsey, what's up? How are you guys doing? All right?
So where have you been basking in the sun lately?
He always looks so bronze.
He does.
You know, just came home to Florida to thaw out a little bit before I got to go back to work, you know?
I want to make this very clear.
Take advantage of a couple of days off,
Leo always made sure that while he was at the pool, nobody ever was in any danger. Right, Leo? You always made sure
nobody
that
has ever, nobody
on your watch
ever drowned on my watch. Never, never.
He's good that way.
You know, he once forced, you know, he didn't take great care of me when I traveled with him.
No?
No. I think he actually pushed me under once, but I'm not sure.
That was
speculation.
I was always looking out for you. Always.
So when you're in the middle of an NBA season, you're grinding along. It's early so far, 20-some games into it, 21, I think, for the Raptors. It is kind of nice in one night to get a bit of a night off, isn't it, and have the Suns playing. And I know it can be a trap game and all those things, but to get a bit of a break, there aren't many easy gimme games in this league right now, Leo, it seems to me.
No, I don't think, honestly, you look at any game as a gimme. I think, they're still pros on any given night, and we've seen this, you know, throughout Raptor history. On any given night, anybody can beat anybody if you're not ready to play. And if you give them a sign that, you know, you're going to give an opportunity away, they'll take it. But it's been a unique, this has been a unique stretch where there's a lot of days. And, you know, the coaches love it because you can practice, you can clean up a lot of things from the early season and all the Western travel. Players, I think, would prefer to play a little bit more frequently, not the 4 and 5 nights, but a little bit more frequently where you maintain a rhythm and you're not practicing as much. But it is a unique, it is a unique time. And I think what we're seeing right now, at least from my perspective, is fresher games, more energy. I think a better quality of game because the players aren't run down. They're not, like I said, they're not doing these 4 games in 5 nights and trying to recover with the travel, which, you know, at times, you know, I know I travel, you know, I'm traveling with the team. I know how I feel. I'm going to fight. I can't imagine if I was out there playing as bad as I feel right now. So I think it's been really good.
As a guy who's played and coached, Leo, I know there's two sides to it. Players would like to play games, like this guy, as you say, get into that rhythm. But coaches still want to coach and get some teaching in too. Is there a happy medium to that? Can you find a happy medium in the pro game?
Yeah, there definitely is a happy medium. And I think what's happening now is that's where the NBA is getting to, where you do have that happy medium where, obviously there are going to be some stretches where it's going to be, you know, a little bit more games, a little less practice, but then you balance it out with the practice time. And that's where you can kind of go back and clean up some things from the past and start preparing ahead. So I think there is it's becoming a good balance. Before, I mean, you can listen to coaches talk. Say if a guy was hurt, he's trying to come back and go, well, you know, we haven't had a practice in 3 weeks, so it's kind of hard to get the guy back. Mm. That's why, you know, you have the luxury of a G League where you'll send a guy go play some games because you really can't do it with your own team just because of the number of games. So I think that balance is there now. It may not be perfect, but it's a lot better than it was.
So you made a couple of references to cleaning some things up. If you're Dwayne Casey, what do you want to see cleaned up that you've noticed over the past week or so about the Raptors' overall game?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just these lapses. You know, everybody's talked a lot about the third quarter. You know, you got to play a 48-minute game. Easier said than done. But you would just put yourself in such a tough position where you're fighting back and you know, you got this uphill battle because you dig yourself a hole. It's just a difficult place to come out of. And there's no reason for it. It's just a mindset. You got to come out ready to play. And I think that's something that's not a huge concern because you know it's something you can correct. But it is a concern. And then the other thing is, you know, the bench has been amazing. I think, you know, going into the season, that was the big question. What are these guys going to do? Are the Raptors going to get what they need out of this bench? And to date, the bench has been phenomenal. And you just want to make sure that the bench isn't becoming the saviors right now, where the bench, you know, the starters come out a little flat, the bench picks it up and takes care of business, and the starters come in and do their thing. You don't want to put that much pressure on these guys, and they've been doing a great job of doing that. What you want to do is get consistency from both the first guys, the core guys, and the bench guys. And that's something I'd like to see where, like I said, I think the bench has saved a lot of games this season already. And you don't want to be in a position to have to save anything. You just want to get really the bench. The job of the bench is to maintain or raise the level of play, not come in and totally turn things around by the way the game is going, especially depending on young guys to do that. So I'd like to see a little bit more consistency there so there's not that much pressure on those guys.
Strong performance on Friday with the victory 121-15 over Indiana. But the next stretch is important for the Raptors because they don't see a lot of teams over 500. This is an opportunity for them to get on a real nice run before Christmas and into the new year, isn't it, Leo?
Oh, absolutely, and you want to jump on that. Also, think about it. You know, by the time Christmas rolls around, you're going to be pretty much done with all the heavy-duty travel. So you got a little bit of a lighter break in your schedule. You have a few more games out west, and then you're sailing to the second half of the season. And that's similar to last year. I mean, a lot of the heavy done in the first half of the season. And the Raptors have an opportunity to take advantage of that again. And couple that with the fact of the depth that we talked about in the bench and how minutes are down and how Casey's able to do some things he hasn't been able to do it before because of that depth. When you have a good schedule, if you can take care of business, guys are getting rest. Hopefully it leads to a strong second half of the season and everybody healthy for a good playoff run. That's the big picture idea, and that's why you got to take advantage of these opportunities now.
So the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night, and a couple of weeks ago, the Raptors won that big game in Houston, and we had Jay Triano on the next day, and unfortunately for him, he knew at that point Phoenix's next game was against Houston, and the Rockets predictably thrashed the Suns because they were so ticked off losing that home game to the Raptors. And it's been that kind of season for the Suns, that kind of start for Triano as an interim head coach. This is a tough spot, Leo, for him to be in for his second, you know, crack at being an NBA head coach. It's hard to see how he's going to be able to get to get much longevity out of him. This team's going to struggle for a while.
No, it is going to struggle. And I think a lot of people are watching this Phoenix organization, which once was, you know, one of the go-to places in the NBA, not only from their style of play, the location, the weather, but the organization was just really well run. And you look at what's been going on the last two, three seasons, and you're going, wait a minute, you know, this isn't the same organization. There's kind of no focus. You know, what direction are you going in? What are you trying to accomplish? You know, which players are you hanging your hat on? So tough situation for Jay to walk into. But you know what? He's actually, you know, he's been in enough situations now where I think he's got the experience and the know-how to handle this situation. Your only hope is, or at least for him, that, you know, management looks at what he's doing, understanding that, you know, he's not going to be able to turn this thing around. He's not going to be able to win, you know, more games than he's going to lose with this particular situation. But he can establish what he's trying to do. He can establish a way of playing, get the confidence of the players. And if everybody gets on the same page, hopefully that'll lead for taking the interim label off for Jay. But like I said, certainly not an easy situation for any coach, let alone, you know, an interim one.
Have the two divisions been able to shake down the way you thought? I mean, in the West, as you've got Houston, you've got Golden State, got San Antonio, and in the East, it's Cleveland, Boston, Toronto. Is that where you kind of see the top three as the season goes on, or are you expecting somebody to make a big push?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, think about it. San Antonio hasn't even had Kawhi Leonard. I think they're going to, you know, they're still going to get better. OKC, you know, I never bought into this whole super team with OKC.
Why? Why not?
Things, Well, it made no sense to me. You had a guy that averaged a triple-double last year, Russell Westbrook, who absolutely has to have the ball in his hands. You bring in a ball stopper in Carmelo Anthony, and then you have another guy that needs the ball. You know, I mean, you're talking about one of the guys that needed the ball more than anybody else, or one of the top guys as far as having the ball in his hands last year in the NBA in Paul George. Now, Paul George can be a two-way player for them and can do a lot of other things, but you know, it's like who's gonna defer? Paul George has got the personality where he say, okay, I'll step back a little bit here. Russell Westbrook's not stepping back. We saw that with Durant.
Carmelo's not stepping back.
Exactly. And remember, and he's the biggest one. He's the biggest issue you got to deal with because he stops the ball. So to me, calling this a super team didn't make sense. I mean, they're talented, they're good, but. So anyway, it's shaken out. I mean, Houston. I still worry about their defense. If that's going to be the main issue for them at the end of the season, like it has been, and we saw that when the Raptor game you referenced. But you know, San Antonio, Golden State, and then in the Eastern Conference, you know, Raptors are a top three team. Boston is a top three team. Cleveland is still the team to beat, and I think Washington. Or Milwaukee, somebody's going to be knocking on that door, you know, to make their mark as well. So everything's kind of shaken out as you'd expect. I don't think Boston's quite what everybody thinks they are, especially without Hayward. Mm-hmm. I think that when you see a lot of young guys are doing a lot of work for them right now. And a lot of these guys haven't been through an 82-game season or haven't played these kind of minutes in an 82-game season with this kind of pressure. That could come back to bite them in the second half of the year. We'll see.
Leo, appreciate you doing this. Glad you got a little R&R in. Get back to work. We look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, sun's setting now anyway, so I'm okay. I'm going to head back.
SPF. Remember the SPF. Thanks, Leo.